This is 1330 WRCA Watertown, Boston.
This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio. Isn't that just wunderbar?
Gazing down on the Jungfrau
from our secret chalet for two,
let us drink leaves and wine
in the moonlight benign to the joy of our dream come true. Wunderbar, wunderbar, what a perfect night for love.
Here am I, here you are.
Why, it's truly wunderbar,
wunderbar, wunderbar. We're alone and hand in glove, not a cloud near or far.
Why, it's more than wunderbar. I care, dear, for you madly, and I long, dear, for your kiss.
I would die, dear, for you gladly. You're divine, dear,
and you're mine, dear. Wunderbar.
Our favorite star above.
What a bright shining star, like our love, it's wunderbar.
You're divine.
Star above, what a bright shining star, like our love, it's wunderbar.
Ah, yes, isn't that just so nice to listen to Wunderbar, Gordon McRae, hailing from East Orange, New Jersey, and Joe Stafford with the female vocal there from Coalinga, California. And I guess her family was originally from Tennessee, and her dad headed out in the 30s out there seeking a better life and wound up working in the oil fields in California. Wunderbar, easy to get carried away listening to that one. This is Tube Talk. From Admiral to Zenith, we're here for you, the radio enthusiast, the discriminating music lover, this is your program. You have discovered the coolest hobby on the face of the planet, the world of antique radio. And we appreciate you being here with us. Once again, another week, another ride on the subway. Here I am to be on the airwaves and on the internet for you. We hope you enjoy the show tonight. So we've got the service van warming up. I've got on my service smock, Zenith Radio official service smock. My dew is freshly brill creamed, my shoe shines, my glasses are in my clip-on pocket pouch, and we're ready to go back in time and wallow in radio history. This is Keeley Smith.
What is this thing called love? This crazy thing. Above, what is this thing called love? Oh, what is this thing called love? this cuckoo thing all love? Just who can solve its mystery? Why should it make a fool of me? I saw you there one wonderful day. You took my heart and you threw it away. That's why I asked the Lord in heaven above, what is this thing?
What is this thing called love? Keeley Smith with Nelson Riddle. And she has an interesting story, married to Louis Prima. She was sort of the straight man in the routine to his clown. And when she was married for the third time, after Louis Prima was long gone, apparently Frank Sinatra gave away the bride. Pretty cool stuff. You know, there used to be this great show on Radio Netherlands, the Happy Station program, and it was started by a guy named Eddie Starts, who started it, actually, I believe, before World War II. And eventually, Eddie went off to Radio Heaven and turned over the show to a guy named Tom Meyer. And it was sort of a celebration-type show. It was, you know, shortwave, Radio Netherlands, music, travelogues, interesting letters from listeners. You could learn a lot about what was going on around the globe and find out about some of the other people who like to listen to the show as well as yourself. You know, it was a feel-good program, something there's not really too much of in radio today. So, we try to keep this in the same vein as the Happy Station program. So just remember, keep in touch with the Dutch and have a nice cup of tea. This is the King Cole Trio.
Night and stars above that shine so bright, the mystery of their fading light that shines upon our caravan. Sleep upon my shoulder as we creep across the sand, so I may keep this memory of our caravan. Is so exciting, you are so inviting, resting in my arms as I thrill to the magic charms of you. Beside me here beneath the blue, my dream of love is coming true within our desert caravan. Dream of love is coming true within our desert caravan.
That just kind of makes you want to get out and hit the road. I love that hip bouncy beat. Very cool. The following is a public service announcement brought to you by Tube Talk. Turn in those cold, clammy, green and orange LED displays on your modern-day radios, or shall we say so-called radios, turn them in for a nice warm dial light on a classic tube set. You'll be so glad you did. Who wants to look at those cold LEDs anyway? Look. Look at those dial lights glow on that nice big old console set. Sometimes, you know, those numerals have almost a dimensionality to them. Isn't that cool? And look at those cities listed. Berlin, London, Rome, Havana. Now, my friend, that is a real radio. Look in the back. Look at those tubes glowing and smell that dust coming up the warm chassis. Yes, Radio Nirvana.
They say into your early life romance came, and in this heart of yours burned a flame, a flame that flickered one day, and died away. Then, with disillusion deep in your eyes, you learn that fools in love soon grow wise. The years have changed you somehow. I see you now. Smoking, drinking, never thinking of tomorrow. Nonchalant, diamonds shining, dancing, dining with some man in a restaurant. Is that all? No, sophisticated lady, I know you missed the love you lost long ago. And when nobody is mine, you cry.
Now, I feel a little more sophisticated just listening to that one. Miss Nancy Wilson. Well, we're very happy here on Tube Talk this week to be joined by Al Klase of the New Jersey Antique Radio Club. Al is the recent coordinator of their very fun DX contest. And for those newbies in the audience, DX is the fine art of long-distance listening. And at the New Jersey Antique Radio Club, they have an event they run where they have different types of radios compete to see who can collect the most points, it looks like, from when I was reading your outline, signifying that they've picked up the most distant signals that they can with the equipment within their class. So, Al, how long have you guys been running this thing? It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've been doing this since 2000.
Yeah, and I noticed that it seems very well organized when I checked out your page. You know, you've got your map there, and you've got a list of all the big stations, all the 50,000-watt clear channels and stations outside the country as well. And there's a log sheet. So give us an idea. How would somebody who wanted to compete actually do the work? They'd pick a type of radio they wanted to listen to, whether it was a military receiver or a traditional commercial broadcast receiver, and then they'd try to figure out what the best stations for them to pick up at the longest distance and start gathering their data, right?
Right. Now, the way we set up the contest was to make it not one of these deals where you had to go in and stay up every night for a week trying to be successful. We set up a 9-day contest period, which is 2 weekends in the intervening week, and you choose one 24-hour period, noon to noon, that you want to do a log for.
I see.
And then for that period, we only count your 10 most distant stations.
Oh, great.
So there isn't, you know, you don't have to stay up 5 days trying to log 700 stations in order to be competitive.
Yeah, have your eyes fallen out of your head the next day at work because I've been up all night on the radio. So that sounds like fun, though. I'd like to try that sometime.
Yeah, and I'd suggest that even, you know, not waiting for the contest, just visit the page and use those resources to do some listening.
Now, I noticed, actually, for this year, I think you were the tops in a category with a military receiver for DXing. Tell us a little bit about the radio you were using.
Well, that was the so-called ARC-5, the military aircraft receiver. And they made a few of those that tune the broadcast band, and they do a real nice job. But the the real key to this is location and antenna, and I was using a homebrew loop. The website, again, will lead you to plans for building your own loop. A loop works much better than any reasonable wire you're going to put out.
Which is, the website is njark.org, correct?
Well, that will get you to the club website, but what I would suggest is that you Google NJARC BX contest, and that will take you directly to a subpage that has all of these resources on it.
And you know what else I enjoyed reading about is you had a little story, I think, from one of your prior exploits in the DX-a-thon with a Walton Zenith that you had brought upstairs. And I enjoyed reading about your exploits with that one. It's one of those storied receivers that a lot of people wish they could have in their collection, but I like the way you prefaced the whole thing, and when you got it working, and you were a little leery about the cord, but yet it came through. Is that a receiver you use frequently in your own personal DXing exploits?
I've used it fairly often. Now, it's not that it's the world's best receiver. It's pretty, but it does have that split second tuning dial on it, which allows you to get back to a frequency accurately and quickly, which can be helpful when you're jumping around trying to find the distant stations. One of the things you have to do first is, before the contest, sit down and figure out how accurate your dial is so you don't have to bounce between loud stations and quiet ones trying to find them.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of know your equipment, so I take it probably a lot of people who participate in the contest use something that they're very familiar with, one of their old reliables when they want to get in on it, so they have a good feel for how it's aligned and how it's matching up against the dial scale. It was funny, you know, as we talk about the Walton, I had a conversation with a fellow who was on the show once. You know, the Waltons probably lived in an area that wasn't even electrified yet, and to find, you know, a Zenith AC powered radio in there, you know, it's a big stretch. I mean, yet, you know, that's why the radio is so expensive, and it is a good radio, as you said, but it would probably be more likely to find some type of like a Sears Roebuck Silvertone farm radio. It would probably have been a better fit that they would have got mail order because they lived out in the absolute middle of nowhere. But
you know,
that's TV, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think it was just, they said, find me an antique radio, and somebody says, I know where there's one that's really cool, so there it is. And so all of a sudden, a $200 antique radio becomes a $2,000 antique radio.
They are a pretty set. Now, how many folks did you have participate in this year's go-around? I know you were helping collate all the results. How many folks in the club participated?
Yeah, we had about six or seven. We have 11 logs submitted.
Excellent.
And you can submit one or two logs, so like you could use one receiver on one night, another one on another night. So we had 10 logs, which is a good turnout for us. You know, we have maybe 60 really active members, so this meant that six or seven of them participated in the contest.
That's great. Now tell us a little bit about your own involvement in the New Jersey Antique Radio Club. How long have you been a member, and what do you like to collect? What's your collection focused on?
Well, I've been a member since about 1998, and my role with the club is technical coordinator. So I organize stuff like this, and we've done an oscilloscope school. And I also helped organize the original repair clinic, which we try to do three or four times a year.
Which are always a hit, too,
from what I hear. Radios back together. So anyway, my collection is primarily commercial and amateur shortwave receivers and military gear. Not many Brown radios here.
Well, I tell you what, we were chatting in a previous show, and we're talking with Ross Hochstrasser, he's a member of our New England club up here, and Ross is Mr. Boat Anchor, Mr. Communication Receiver. So you'd like to hear his thoughts. He's right in your league. He was a factory representative for Grundig for many years, and he has a liking for European receivers, sort of the Grundig and Saber and Siemens. But I think his heart has moved over into the world of communications receivers. So we spent a segment hashing those over for the audience because it's another angle on the hobby that not too many people are familiar with. I think a lot of folks, especially if they're newer in the hobby, tend to think of they look at the Philco 90s. They think of the big wooden sets or the console sets. But some of the performance is very impressive on the military sets. And what were some of your better catches for this year's contest?
Now, I've been kind of crippled the last couple of years because I moved to Jersey City here, which is pretty urban.
Yeah.
I was still able to hear Caracas, Venezuela.
Very good.
And, that's really interesting because you tune WSB in Atlanta on 750.
50, yep.
And then you turn your antenna 90 degrees, and the Spanish underneath is Caracas. And they even identify, which is something that the Cubans don't, for instance. And their slogan is "Aire, Stay Aire," which is RCR, which stands for Radio Caracas Radio, which is some sort of Department of Redundancy thing. But they do ID, and you can hear Venezuela.
That's a great catch. Now, I noticed also I see Cuba mentioned a lot, and we're not talking you correct me if I'm wrong, we're not talking about the shortwave service that comes out of Cuba. We're talking about local AM in Cuba that's picked up on the east coast of the United States.
Yeah, that's correct. And, well, the real key to Cuba, I mean, it got to the point where we had to modify the rules to take care of it. Cuba has this network called Radio Relo, and which broadcasts some sort of normal programming, but right under the audio, there are clock ticks on every second.
Uh-huh.
And on the minute, there's a 1,000-cycle tone, and about 4 seconds later, they identify with RR in Morse code. Now, even if you can't hear the audio on those stations, on a good night, you can hear the beep and the RRs, and on a slightly better night, you'll hear the clock ticks.
Well, that's great.
And there's several Radio Relo stations. When the band is really hot, you hear them all over the place. And so we finally just made a rule and said, okay, you only get to log Relo once, and then move on to something else.
Well, you know, it's an interesting aspect of the hobby, you know, the act of listening to the receivers that people restore and, you know, cherish in some cases some of their real oldies. And, you know, we've had some the station manager here was kind enough. He shared with me some DX reports that they get here at the station. Some very interesting stuff. I've seen them from – I forwarded a couple down to Rich Lee, but we had them from Spain. We had them from Belgium. We've had a couple from Finland. And nobody who had heard my program, unfortunately, but, you know, it's interesting now when they DX because, you know, when we were kids, we'd send off a letter and you hope you get a QSL card. Well, these guys will send an email and they'll embed a little MP3 file in there to kind of verify the reception. They'll send you what they actually heard, you know, they'll record off their recording equipment. So, I mean, some of the sound quality on a couple of them for a good, you know, 1 or 2 minute section was absolutely phenomenal. So it sounds corny, but it's just a really neat thing to do. And it is fun to use these sets that we have in our homes, too. So I appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit about your contest. We're going to ring up David Snellman and talk a little bit about his success in the contest. I believe he won the category for a broadcast receiver. And we're going to talk to Dave and find out how he did, too. So, Al, thanks for being on. We appreciate your time.
Okay, my pleasure, Paul.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pennsylvania 6-5000.
happy here. We have another part of the New Jersey Antique Radio Club DX Contest group here with us, David Snellman, who won the award for best in category with a standard commercial receiver. We talked with Al a little earlier, who was working on a military set. So congratulations on winning your section of the DX contest there. Maybe give us a little bit of an idea. What was your master plan for participating in the DX contest this year, David?
Well, this year I kind of started to do my homework just after Christmas. I started listening a couple nights a week just to get a feel for what was out there, and the conditions were pretty good. I was getting a lot of Latin American stations. I actually, even prior to the contest, was able to identify Denver, Colorado.
Very good. I'm impressed. I have trouble getting that far west. I don't have a very advanced antenna setup at all, but the western states are very elusive for me, so congratulations.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a great antenna either. Well, I mean, maybe I do, but I just have a passive loop that I add on to, I did it with the, first off, with the Zenith Transoceanic, a tube-type receiver from 1954 vintage. And the antenna I'm using is a Taurus tuner, which is a 26-inch passive loop. And I picked it up at a ham fest, down around the Maryland area, about maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah, you have pretty good results with it, it sounds like.
Unbelievable results. But like I said, I did my homework as far as trying to identify stations and things like that. And then when the contest started, the Friday night the contest started, I was really disappointed. I thought my radios like went deaf because propagation conditions were just terrible at the start.
Tough timing, huh?
Yeah.
But it sounds like you rebounded, though. What type of a receiver were you using, just so the audience knows what type of a set you were using?
Okay,
transoceanic?
I had two different radios. I had a Zenith Transoceanic. This is a tube-type set. It's the first year they went to the slide rule style as opposed to the airplane dial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's model L600 from 1954. And then the other set I used was a transistor set. And in the contest, the transistors had to be made before, the transistor radios, that is, had to be made before 1970. So I was using a Sony CRF230, which is a huge radio. It weighs 30 pounds without the batteries in it. But it's a wonderful, great performing set. And I got this up at the AWA convention 2 years ago.
Well, the transoceanic doesn't come as a surprise because I have one. It is not in restored condition. I haven't been able to listen to it, but I know a fellow who thinks so very highly of them. He claims to me that it routinely outperforms on shortwave most all of his more modern Sony solid state equipment. He says they're just amazing sets, and it's a great reputation. It was funny because we get one of these little weekly papers like every community gets in at my house, and they have the In His Attic or Flo's Closet. You could run your free ad for to get rid of your old bikes and chairs and all that stuff. Every week I look, and what did I see? Vintage shortwave radio Zenith. And I know exactly what the guy has. He has a transoceanic, and I'm holding off, because I already have one that's unfortunately, the one I picked up is in great shape, and unfortunately, somebody had left a socket in there, or a socket fell into the compartment where the right in back of the speaker, and as this thing got carried around for the years, it was bouncing back and forth, perforating the speaker cone. Whoever did that. But I think once we get over the speaker hump, it looks pretty good. The tubes tested okay. But in any event, those are great sets for DXing, and it sounds like they're pretty good on the broadcast band from DXing from what
good.
I heard with you.
Wonderful. I mean, this set, I bought this at one of the New Jersey Club spot meets a few years back, and other than the fact that I made up a battery pack that I could run off battery, because the AC, I had one a few years back. I tried in the contest. I was running on AC, and I got about an hour into the contest, and it blew a capacitor.
Yeah, that's an issue with those. Yeah, I know that a lot of people, I think, is there selenium rectifier in there that needs to come out? And you got to put in a Zener-type diode, and the low-voltage tubes run better on battery, I guess, even though they can go on the AC. But, you know, they're amazing devices, you know, for their time. It's just a testament to Zenith. They're highly sought after. I know some people who just collect them. You know, that's all they want.
Yes. And, it was one of my friends from the Delaware Valley Club brought his Zenith with a battery pack that he made. And when I heard that thing running on batteries, I said, I got to do that.
That's great. Now, what were some of your better catches on the two sets you were using?
Well, I got a lot of different Cuban stations, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the easiest one from Cuba is getting Radio Relos, which is their time station, time and news station. And I like that because it's really easy to identify because they announce their IDs quite often.
Yep.
And they set the Morse, they do a Morse.
Right,
code
Al was
ID.
Telling us. Yeah, that's, you know, I'm going to have to try to pick that one up myself, especially when we, you know, the propagation is good because it's, you know, it just probably comes right up over the wall, right up the East Coast, you know.
And the thing that I like about it is since, you know, I have a list of where these radio relay stations are located on the dial, and I use that to kind of give me a rough calibration of the dial.
Sure.
So, but I was getting, Santa Clara, which was a Cuban station again. And then I actually got a station from Ponce in the Puerto Rico area.
Very good.
So first I had that one blew me away because the ID was so clear I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It's funny sometimes when the conditions are just right. You know, I've picked up some things occasionally, especially on shortwave. And, you know, I'll pinch myself and say, well, wait a minute, what is this? You know, and especially if it's just something that's always been there and you go over it back and forth, but either the circumstances aren't right or your equipment isn't just right, but, you know, that one time you hit it just absolutely perfect and it comes through like a bell and you say, why have I been missing this? You know, it's part of the fun, I guess, of finding them, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's like I had KXEL from Waterloo, Iowa.
Oh, that's a catch.
That's nice. And there was WHO from Des Moines, Iowa. And that was all on the transoceanic.
Well, I tell you, it makes some of my better ones pale. I think I might have mentioned this to you when we were chatting about coming on the show is, you know, my big one was I pick up WNYC, which is 1,000 watts AM, you know, in Boston. And that is just with the internal antenna in one of my sets. So I hadn't even clipped on a little long wire on that. But I do like to listen. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, it depends where you are, too. I've been out on Cape Cod here in Massachusetts where I should have great DXing. And sometimes other than picking up a lot of the New York stations, I don't have much luck at all. But yet back at home, just a little outside of Boston, if it's a good night, you know, I'll routinely get WLW, I'll get Cincinnati, I'll get a couple from Chicago, I'll get 740 out of Toronto, which is, you know, nice music and interesting radio shows. I love to pick that up. And I'll get 1010 Winds, and I'll get 880, and I'll get Wham out of Rochester, and I'll get WBAL. So I actually do pretty well, you know, for somebody with a small antenna in a fairly urban location. Sometimes you go places you think it will be great, and it isn't. And conversely, sometimes, you know, you're in spots when you say, I really shouldn't pick anything up, and bang, you luck out.
Yeah. And then on the Sony set, I got Radio Caracas from Venezuela. And actually, I even got the TIRA from San Jose, Costa Rica.
Now, you know what I've heard of, and I haven't heard of it lately, and I don't know if it's because it's still on the air or not. Was there a station down in? I believe it was down in the islands, and I'm tempted to say, was it Aruba, Trans World Radio? Or maybe it was out of Bonaire, and they supposedly had an extremely powerful signal. Now, is that something that's still on the air?
I think it is. The only problem is I get a lot of interference. Well, I usually end up getting drowned out by CKLW.
Yep. Yeah, it's just it's a situation where they're too close to each other, and your antenna just can't quite split it. Yeah,
right.
You know, because I was fascinated with some of these Caribbean stations, figuring that you kind of use the water to your advantage up here in the Northeast and try to pick up as many as you can. How many years? Is this your first year, or are you a perennial participant in the DX contest?
Well, this is 2 years in a row that I won the contest.
Yay, David.
And it's after a little bit of a retirement from it temporarily because I was working at, you know, before that. Then when I retired, I said, well, I got to get back into this. And I've been retired. I'm starting to guess my third or fourth year. And so I had 2 years experience with the DXing contest. But I participated in the past, and I didn't have, like I said, the 1 year my poor transoceanic blew up on me, and I had a bow out that year. But
it's like in NASCAR when you blow an engine, you know, that's it, you're done.
Yep. And then 1 year I had a little a Philco tabletop radio with only like 20 feet of wire run across the floor in the kitchen, and I didn't do too bad with that. I didn't win, but I didn't do too bad.
You know, it's almost more fun sometimes when you have a very modest array set up. And, you know, you don't do, even if you don't do, you know, superlative, you do pretty well. And you say, hey, you know what, you know, and you think back before there was so much stray RF and you wonder what reception must have been like in the 30s and 40s, you know, when it was really just radio that was out there. And it kind of gives you an idea for that thrill that really, you know, because a lot of people will say, well, I didn't know these radios even had shortwave on it. But it was really, it was a fad, but it was also, especially around the late 30s, early 40s with the war coming on. And it was an amazing way to link up with the rest of the world and in a situation where, you know, it was long distance telephone calls and there were no jet planes yet and people were still primarily relying on newspapers and telephones, to be able to sit in your living room and pull in Cuba or Berlin or the BBC, I mean, what a treat. And it is fun when you have your own little modest set and you say, gee, that's how they must have done it back then. It kind of is a great way to connect with the radio listener from long ago.
Yeah, I've been so impressed with the Zena Transoceanics, I'm now in the throes of restoring another Transoceanic I have, one of the old airplane dial sets.
Yeah, mine is in pretty good shape. I actually stumbled across it, a kid who was in this little antique mall setup, and he was a woodworker for the most part, and I just stopped and I was looking in there, and I didn't know what they'd have, and I said hi to him, and he says, oh, were you interested in a chin? I said, I really collect radios. I thought somebody might have it, and his mother goes, well, we have a radio at home. It's up in a closet. We haven't used it in 40 years. Would you like to look at it? So the kid calls me up one day, and I went down there, and he really wanted nothing to do with it. So, you know, basically for beer and pizza money, I very short dollars, take it. I'm never going to use it, he says. So, and I got it home. You know, the case is in great shape. The tubes are all testing pretty good, and you know, other than that speaker problem, which just, you know, I get all aggravated just even thinking about it. But talking to you, I think you're going to give me some fresh motivation to get that thing up and running. Because,
I mean, there's so many of those, the carcasses of them out there, that you can actually probably even find the speaker.
Yeah, or I can get a good reconing. You know, there are some guys who do wonderful work. I tell this story, and I just, you know, the listeners might not, I'll tell it again. I have a very simple, humble Emerson six-tube set. You know, it just has the extra RF tube. And it really, you know, doesn't have, it has a lot of nerve to sound as good as it does. But it had a bad speaker, and it had some rust in around the magnet. And long story short, we restored all the electronics and everything, and it sounded pretty good. But the speaker was a dog. So I said, you know what? Let's get the speaker reconed. And we had, I don't know if you're familiar with him, Rich Stamer down in Collingswood, New Jersey, Sound Remedy. And he did a phenomenal job on this little speaker. And I got to tell you, I put that speaker into that set. It has no business sounding as good as it does. It has beautiful response and clarity. I said, wow, you know. So it was a good, just because your speaker shot, folks, don't think you can't get a good reconing and get it back and even better than it was. Yeah. There's some very talented guys out there who do those.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, David, I appreciate you being on the show. And this concludes our segment with the two participants in this year's New Jersey Antique Radio Club DX contest. It's a fun thing, and it sounds like it keeps the members interested. I know I'm interested just as an observer, and see if we can get one going up here in New England. It sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks for being on, David. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye
now.
Duval, my Duval, my old my Duval, wow. Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. Now it don't mean a thing, all you've got to do is sing. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm every little thing you've got. Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. See my body, smooth on down to be with body. See with body, new body.
Well, that was just about 10 minutes of sheer delight. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got swing. And that was Jimmy Grissom, I believe, on the vocal with Duke Ellington and his orchestra. And once again, and, you know, you expected this, so we're going to get it. You have reached the apex of the independently produced radio experience. Yes, folks, this is the zenith of independently produced radio for the music lover, the antique radio collector, the folks who still like to listen to the radio. This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM. We'd love to hear from you. We have an email address set up for the show, which is TubeTalk, the number one, at gmail.com, TubeTalk1 at gmail. We'd love to hear from you. Please drop us a line with a suggestion, a story about your latest restoration product or a great radio find or a station you'd like to listen to. We'd love to hear from you, and I hope you're sitting there tonight in front of a nice RCA, Philco, or Zenith. Nice dial light glowing, all comfy in that big overstuffed chair, listening to some swell music and nifty conversation with interesting people in the radio hobby. What could be better in life than that? Not much, my friends, not much.
Treat me sweet and gentle when you say goodnight. Just squeeze me, but please don't tease me. Hey, baby, I get sentimental when you hold me tight. Why don't you squeeze me, baby? I don't want you to tease me. I've been missing you since you went away, singing the blues away each day, counting the nights and waiting for you. I'm in the mood to let you know I never knew I loved you so. Please say you love me too. When I get this feeling, I am in ecstasy. Why don't you squeeze me, baby? But please don't tease me. Oh, you treat me sweet and gentle every time you say goodnight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lou Rawls. Well, you know, it's about that time again. We've got to put out the light in the radio shop and get ready to put our smock on the hanger and hope to come back next week with some more radio talk and some music. And again, we'd love to hear from you. TubeTalk1 at gmail.com. Let us know you listen. Let us know you like the show if you do. And, you know, I just kind of feel like Nero tonight, you know, when it was getting hot in Rome. You ever have one of those nights? Because that's about the way in time I feel right now. Anyway, so we'll see you next week. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
crowd. The usual laughs, not often but loud. And in the world that I knew, I didn't know about you. Yes, chasing after the ring on the merry-go-round, just taking my fun for where it could be found. So what else could I do? 'Cause I didn't know about you. Today, every day, in your arms, I know for once in my life, I'm living, had a good time, every time I went out, romance. Was a thing I kidded about. How could I know about love? 'Cause I didn't know about you.